Good. As Nikki reminded you, it was really great to be away as a team, a leadership team, as a full leadership team of the pastoral leadership and also the trustees, to get away and just reflect on where we've been and how effective we feel we're being in the things that we are investing in and what we felt God was saying to us. It's a journey. And when we talk, we have kind of communicated this as a Vision Sunday. And I don't know quite what you might be expecting, but this isn't going to be the kind of speech that JF Kennedy gave to Congress back in 1961, where it says the United States should set the goal before the end of the decade to land a man on the moon and bring him back to Earth again safely. I'm not going to do that kind of preach. You know, those kind of words are used often in management meetings to try and, you know, to teach them how to do motivational speeches and get the whole crowd going rah, rah, rah. It's not that kind of vision statement. It's much more about reflecting on who we feel we are, where have we been and where are we going? What do we feel God is saying? And as Nick has already been sharing, you know, we just so want to, be doing and praying into all the things that God is leading us to. So I'm going to start by picking up my flicker. I'm going to start by asking ourselves the question, how would I describe New Life Church? And I hope that we would say more than we are. We're a small church that meets in French Hay Village Hall every Sunday, and there's a village hall, and that's us. You know, we are that. But I hope we would all agree that we are far, far more than just a small church that meets every Sunday at the village, French Hay Village Hall. And I think the real way to understand who we are is to dig a little bit deeper into thinking about our values and what's important to us. And they're all there, but I just want to talk us through this. I'm going to highlight a few things. And you might want to just think and reflect about how you feel we're doing as a church. You know, I'll make these statements, but do you feel, you know, this is us? Do you feel we're doing well? And you might want to go away and pray about that over the next few days, because when we get together on Wednesday, you might want to discuss some of these things and think about how we might do them better. But not just think about them as a church, as an organization. Who is the church? We are. We are the church. We are the family of God. So you might want to ask yourself the question, how am I doing? Not me. I mean, I ask myself that question, but ask yourself, how are we doing? How am I doing as an individual in terms of these values? Okay. So I would say that as a church, we are a charismatic church. I hope nobody would think otherwise. We're a charismatic church. We believe in the moving of the Holy Spirit, believing the spiritual gifts and these kind of things. And I think I would sum up charismatic in three words, okay? Because often we think of charismatic as the Spirit. But I think it's far, far more than that. And I would say it's three things, really. It's word, spirit, and prayer. And I think we need all three of these things. And we think about how are we doing. I believe we are committed to, you know, teaching from Scripture every Sunday where possible. I love our charismatic style of worship. I'd love us to see more moving in the power of the supernatural. It's there in Scripture. You know, something, you know, just it's good to know we're not there yet. We've got plenty to aspire to. We're moving more into prayer, and that's a great thing. I believe we are a mission-focused church, which I mean by that is we're not simply into going through the motions. This is an old crack record of mine. You hear me say it time and time and time again. But I can't bear the thought of just doing church, the mechanics, the logistics, the motions of church. It has to be for a reason, and the reason is to have an impact for the kingdom of God in the lives of those who are around us. You know, we have a love for our community, we have a love for our city, we get involved in things here, we get involved in things in the city, but we also have a real heart to take the kingdom of God and serve the kingdom of God far and wide, which is why we're involved in Zambia. And who else my God wants us to serve at this time. Missional. I believe we are inclusive. And what I mean by that is everybody's contribution is valued and is important. It's not all about me or Dave or the leadership team. It's about all of us. And we all of us have a part to play. And I think we summarize inclusiveness by those beautiful three words which you see on our website. We mention from time to time: belong, believe, become. Interesting, we don't really talk a lot about it, but I think it is at the heart of the DNA of this church and how we as a leadership team want the church to be and to reflect. Belong, believe, become. We want people to feel like they belong without any condition. Come as you are. We will not judge you. You know, we're not trying to conform you into some model of some perfect NLC person. No, just come as you are. We love you and we want everybody to feel like they belong unconditionally. Of course, our desire is for everyone to believe, to become a Christian, to find Jesus as their own personal saviour, find salvation. That responsibility, we can lead and we can guide, and all of us have a responsibility to do that. But ultimately, only through the Holy Spirit can someone come to a place of belief. It's through revelation. So that's why prayer and intercession is so important, that we do our part, but ultimately it's down to the work of the Holy Spirit. And become, well, that's the lifetime work, isn't it? That's the lifetime work of becoming everything that God wants you to become. Become more like Jesus and to fulfill your entire potential in serving the kingdom of God. And in relation to become, I think the last word is really important: empowering. It's about personal responsibility. You know, myself or others, we can teach and preach till the cows come home on a Sunday morning and do things in home group. But at the end of the day, it's down to you. You can't blame me for what you do and don't do. It's personal responsibility, your walk with God, how you find God, how you overcome, how you teach yourselves. We'll do our part, but we all have to take personal responsibility for our lives in God and overcoming those challenges that invariably hit us. It's our responsibility for going deeper into the things of God, not just sitting on the periphery, you know, just dipping our toes in shallow water all the time. You know, the blessings and the power is in the deep water. We know that from Scripture. But you have to go out there and do it. It's every one of our responsibilities to share our faith with non-Christian friends and family. And so as a church, we want to empower everyone to do that, for you to take initiatives and follow your dreams and follow your convictions. And not that I would wish this on anybody, but invariably the more risks you take, the more mistakes you're likely to make and occasionally fall over and hurt yourself, etc., etc. But you know, we won't be there saying, "I told you so, I told you so," or at least I'll be resisting telling you that. But we would be there to come alongside you and encourage you and lift you up and get you going again. Because that's what empowerment is about. It's not about me lording things on you. It's about all of us helping one another to fulfill our dreams in God. And I think we do quite a bit of this already. You know, for examples, you know, we have people involved in Kintsugi Hope, in Open Doors, in Food Bank, in Bank, in Messy Church, in Mentor Me, to name just a few. These things we don't do centrally as a church, but individuals have been empowered to follow their dream and to do the things that God is calling them to do. And as an environment in New Life Church, we want to help you and come alongside you and encourage you and hold you into the things of God. I'm going to pause there now, because that's who I think we are. In a little while, I'll come back and I'll talk about some of the key prophetic words which are guiding us in these values at this time. But I want to now hand over to Dave, who's going to in Dave's infamous style, but this is wonderful. He's going to talk to us about how to tell this story.
Okay, so when we got together, we looked at different things, and one of the things we looked at were, what do other churches do? There's no point reinventing the wheel, is there, to be honest? Sometimes you can look for inspiration at other churches and other congregations that are similar to us in size, in style. And so we looked at what other churches do. How do they communicate their visions or their DNA to the outside world and actually within their own congregations? And pretty much everyone has a promo video. You know, you see them, don't you? It's very corporate sometimes, but that's the world we live in. The world is used to promotional videos. We watch TV, don't we? We have adverts. You know, you don't phone up, you know, Unilever and say, "Can you please tell me about Surf?" They just show you a video on the telly in an ad break in the middle of Coronation Street, and you learn all you need to know. And whether you believe it or not, that's up to you. But that's what they do, and we're very visual people, aren't we? But the people are visual. They learn through what they see, what they hear. And you know, you can have a massive vision statement and distribute it out as one big lump sum text. But that can be just too big for people. They want to see it really simply, really clearly. You know, if you think the Bible is God's vision, you know, people have been debating it 2,000 years and they still can't agree. 66 books. I'm not saying we're going to produce 66 books about our vision for NLC, you know, so the world has to debate it, what we actually believe. But I want to put it into probably, well, depending who's speaking, I've recorded it. We've written something which is based on all the things that are on our website, all the things we believe, all of our all the things Rich has already talked about. Nick wrote a sort of a basic script, and I've tweaked it slightly, and we've recorded it. Okay, and we'll come to that in a little while. And depending on who speaks, you know, when Rich recorded it, his was 2 minutes 30. The exact same words Nick did, 1 minute 40. Despite the fact we're telling him to slow down, it was about the 10th take. But it was still, you know, literally twice the speed of Rich and Kim. So, you know, we're going to get it. So I want to show you where I started, okay? I want to show you what other churches are doing. And I'm going to be critical. I'm going to be honest about what I think about these videos. And you can disagree with me all you like. I'll still be right. No, you can disagree all you like. But the reality is, this is what I think when I see this, okay? I'm sorry, point down there, isn't it? Oh, has it clicked on it, Ed? That's it, thank you. So this is New Life. I went for name similar, okay? New Life Church, Belfast, okay? Let's see what they do for their promo video. We go. So that's where I started. Now, I don't know what you think about that, but I'll tell you what I think about that, okay? Very well put together, I would say that, okay? The production value is very high. However, it was all about gathering. There was no actual content to it at all, and it was just generic. That could be any church. I could literally take that off, put New Life Church Bristol, or put Woodlands, or Holy Trinity, job done. I could sit down, because it didn't tell you anything about what they believe. It just said they gather and they sing songs and have some instruments. Nothing else about it other than what time. So it's really generic. It just doesn't tell you anything at all. So then I thought, well, there's got to be others out there, surely. I've had a bad call on the first one. So then I went for Arlington Woods, which is in America, okay? So I thought, States, they do things differently, don't they? And bigger and better, so they tell us. So I thought, let's see what they do. Thank you. There we go. So what do we think about that one? Exactly the same, but with ice cream and snow. So it's getting better. It's getting better. They do ice cream. But it was all about gathering again. There was still no actual content. It was generic, and coffee's not really a selling feature for church. It's great to have. It's great to have. You know, it's even better when it's Kingdom Coffee, but it's not the reason we want someone to come to church for. It's just part of what we do. Mixed sausage rolls could be on there, but yeah. So I thought, okay, let's look at Oasis Christian Church. Let's look at another one, see what they do. You will never fade away. So we're getting a little better, I think. Are we ready for something different? Yes. Unfortunately, the video wasn't actually that different, was it? They had a bit of text. But other than that, it was pretty much standard. You know, great worship. Nice kids' work. I mean, you're not going to advertise if it wasn't, are you? You're not going to, you know, put on and go, mediocre kids' work. Livable worship.
Was that where
kids were? It was, yeah. I did look, the reason I've gone for these is I did look at some local ones. They were the bottom of the pile, but it's not fair to slag off other churches locally. So that's why they're not in there, okay? But some of the local ones are, frankly, just horrific. There's one which took 20, you know, a minute of telling you where they met. That was literally it, just told you where they met. So I've ditched those because it's not fair. So are you ready for something different? Yes, but it was nothing different, really, underneath the words. So then I thought, well, let's look at New Wine, okay? And this was where my inspiration came from. This was something we saw at the Leaders Conference back in Harrogate in February, March. And this is what I thought, do you know what? I like this, which is what started me on my journey of thinking this is what we need to do. So this is New Wine's, okay? Bear in mind, New Wine isn't a church. So you think, oh, it's going to be a bit more tricky.
Okay. We are a spirit-empowered movement.
Training every part of the church to live a spirit-filled life.
Equipping every Christian to serve like Jesus in their home, church, work, and life place.
Raising generations to follow Jesus with passion.
Inspiring and supporting new church plants.
Releasing anointed, courageous, missional, and spirit-filled disciples.
Mm-hmm.
bringing hope to communities. Supporting and mentoring leaders.
We are bringing this nation back to Jesus through the local church, one life at a time. We are New Wine.
Go. So very, very different. It was actually different and it was informative. I don't know about you, but for me that was informative. And that's where we started our journey in working out what we wanted our vision to look like or sound like to the public. So the proposal, okay. So Nick, as I mentioned, wrote a draft, I guess, a script, and then I looked at it and tweaked it around a bit, moved a few bits around, and then we came up with a final sort of script. And so that you can do it, rather than me just read that to you, what we did was we recorded, as a few of us, the four, Nick, Kim, myself, Rich, and then I got Peter, Michelle, and Val as well this week, just to do a few bits as well. And the idea is that we will interject many of you guys into that as well. So as many of you as I can kind of squeeze in to make it work and not be too higgledy-piggledy. We want to put it together. So this is a task, okay? This is not something that I can do overnight. I certainly can't do it when I'm overseeing a £250,000 build project. So I've put together the draft of the words, okay? So this will give you a feel, okay? There's no visuals at this point for this part. I just want you to listen to the words, okay? Part of the reason is I can't put all the visuals in place and I don't want you to like be distracted by odd bits of video clip popping up every now and again. But this is the one that I think, and this is what I feel our vision is and how it will sound.
New Life Church, Bristol.
We are a church that wants to help as many people as possible.
To find a place to belong.
To find faith.
To believe in Jesus.
And to become all that they can be.
We are a church with a Jesus-focused vision to bring hope and speak life.
Into our homes.
Into our communities.
Across our city.
And throughout the world.
We are motivated by love
and moved by compassion
to be a church that serves all and gives all,
where generosity abounds.
We are a church that creates space,
one who comes to contribute,
where everyone cares and everyone can grow,
where all can make a difference
and have fun along the way.
We are a church that gathers together to worship and pray,
to learn from God's word,
and be transformed by his presence,
to grow,
to serve,
and to be family.
We are a church that goes out
to be light into the darkness,
to bring peace in the chaos,
and joy where there is despair.
We're a church that aims to speak life
wherever God takes us.
Wherever God takes us.
Wherever God takes us.
We are New Life Church, Bristol.
There we go. So that's the audio, and I hope you can see that it tells people who we are, what we believe, in a way that's quite simple, and it involves everybody, or as many people as I can get involved. I've not put all the video together. I put one little segment together, though. So I thought I would just show you that little segment, just one little section, just so you get a feel of what the actual video will be like. There'll probably be words over the top as well, similar to New Wine one, but this is just the video bit of it, for just one small section I've done.
And have fun along the way.
We are a church that gathers together to worship and pray,
to learn from God's word,
and be transformed by his presence,
to grow,
to serve,
and to be family.
There you go. All right, that's literally the bit I've done. So there you go. That's it. So, yeah, hopefully you enjoy that. Hopefully you agree with that. That'd be a good start, wouldn't it, really? We're going to be coming to you, and I'll be coming to some of you and saying, look, I need to come and see you. I've got some ideas on locations and things. A few of you I've spoken to you about that. Just so we can get it and we can show that we're a church that's out and about in the community and different people doing different things. So, yeah. So when I call you and say, look, can I come around and record you saying two lines, please? That's what it is. I mean, Peter Michelle did it. It took about, well, apart from the messing around they did. Animals, children, more crafts. I'll say no more. It took about 5 minutes, that's all, really. It did. Val was much quicker. No, that's correct. Yes. So we're coming around to some of you and just recording a few of you, and we'll put it together, and hopefully in the next month or so, possibly two, we'll get something finalised and out there. Okay, cool.
Thanks, Dave. Okay. So I just want to kind of wrap this up, really, by thinking about some of the prophetic words that God has been speaking over the church, because really the prophetic word is really important. If we say we're a church that seeks God and prays and we expect God to speak to us, that's what we want to do. Otherwise, it's pointless claiming we have prophetic words over the church and then completely ignoring them. And so I'm going to highlight what I think are three key words that are over the church at this time, and I will reference a few others too. But the first one I want to talk about is six small steps. Now, for those of you who've been part of New Life Church from the beginning back in 2012, you'll recognize this word. It's from the scripture in 2 Samuel chapter 6 when David moved the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem. And if you know the story, the first time they tried to do this, they put the Ark on a cart pulled by oxen, and off it goes. And as it travels across the threshing floor, it wobbles, and the ark is about to topple over. Uzzah reaches out to steady it, and he gets struck down, and he dies. And everything comes to a sudden halt because, you know, David and all the people really fear God. And they realize, and this is a key here, they realize, and they confessed, incidentally, they had not sought God. Okay, and this is one of the things that we're saying we need to do all the time. They hadn't sought God, and they needed to seek God as to how the ark should be moved. So before they did it the second time, they inquired of the Lord, and they realized that the ark needed actually to be carried on the shoulders of the Levites, not pulled conveniently on a cart. And so as they set out the second time, they move cautiously, taking just six steps at a time, and then they wait and they sacrifice and they worship before God before taking the next six steps. And by doing God's will, God's way, they get to where God wanted them to be. You get that? God's will, God's way, God's destination, you'll get there. And this word was really critical to us in the early parts of the church as we were forming ourselves. And, you know, you might think, well, 11 years down the line, is that really relevant to us today? And we asked ourselves that question. But as a leadership, as we thought about this word, we really, really felt that this word is still important and relevant to us. We still feel it's the bedrock, really, to approaching everything that we do in seeking God. And I think it really fits in with spirit, word, and prayer. And I would encourage us not to get fixated on the word small, six small steps. The idea here, the sentiment here, is to go so far, go back to God. Go so far, go back to God. Don't run ahead of God. Don't presume on God, but walk with God. And most importantly, and I did share a little bit of this when we came back from New Wine. As you know, after we had this envisioning day, a number of us went off to New Wine. And it was incredible that on the very first morning, Jane Packiam, what should he share? His whole preach was about. His whole preach was about taking the Ark of the Covenant. Having envisioned ourselves as a leadership, we felt as we went off to New Wine, it was incredible that Glenn Packiam, his first preach on the first morning, should be David moving the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. If we'd have just heard that word without having our away day, well, it would have been great. It would have taken us back. Oh, yeah, we had that word once. But because we'd been together prayerfully as a leadership team and God really envisioned us afresh with that word, to then go to New Wine and the first thing you hear is that word, you can imagine how that confirms and reaffirms and encourages and strengthens our faith. And I think had we not had that away day, I don't think it would have been the same. But one of the key points that Glenn brought out as he brought that word was about the importance of being carriers of God's presence. Remember the first time they attempted to move the ark, they put it on a car and it was pulled by oxen. That meant no personal sacrifice to anybody else. Once it was on that car and the oxen were moving, everybody else got to toot along behind the car. Oh, isn't this great? You know, and there was no sense of personal sacrifice, and this was not God's way. God's way was the presence of God needed to be carried. And this brings me on to the second prophetic word that I think we are carrying at this time. I was really excited at New Wine because a lot of what I was hearing is stuff that we'd been covering during the year. This often happens. I just thank God for it. A lot of what we're sharing was about Moses. And you might remember last year at New Wine, God spoke to me about the scripture in Exodus 33:15. If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. And I came back so convinced in my spirit that this is what God wanted us to really consider throughout this last year. That's why we started that whole journey of the story of Moses. And I hope you've really enjoyed that. Well, this year, Rich Johnson, who now heads up New Wine, on his first preach, which was the first evening, he actually shared this scripture. So you can imagine. It's still there, isn't it? You know, I'm just hearing the words confirmed to me that God, that God has already given to us. And when you put 2 Samuel 6 alongside as Exodus 33:15, then I think what we would say is the presence of God is everything. It's all about the presence of God. Without God's presence, without his spirit being in what we are doing, then it's most likely not worth doing. And even worse, we could be in direct disobedience. The presence of God, the spirit of God, is absolutely imperative. But I want to come back to how these two words link, the ark and the presence. You see, we don't put the God's presence on a cart and we casually follow it. We need to be carriers of God's presence. Now, I believe this is the essence, actually, of being a missional church. You know, it's lovely, isn't it, that we experience the presence of God in our meetings. I believe we do experience the presence of God in our meetings. It's in our worship, it's in the word and the sharing. You know, I love it. I love the fact we have the presence of God in our meetings. And we have tried over the last few months to create even more space for the Holy Spirit to move. But listen, it's taking the Holy Spirit's presence outside of these four walls, taking him home with you, taking him to work with you, taking him out with your friends, taking him out with your social life and all the things that you do. It's about taking the presence of God out into your personal communities. And many of you might remember a guy called Carl Martin. He coined a few years ago at New Wine, he coined this incredible phrase, and we've never forgotten it really, this is for that. And he was talking about, you know, just being in this massive gathering at New Wine. He said, but this is not what it's about. It's about that. It's about taking it out. And I would use the same thing here. God's presence here in our meeting is for God's presence there when you go out of this meeting, okay? We need to carry what God gives us when we come together like this and take it out and have an impact, a kingdom of God impact out in our everyday lives. And let's beware of this, folks. It could be costly, okay? It was an effort to carry that ark on the shoulders a long way to Jerusalem. You know, it's costly. And God might if we're serious about taking his presence into our everyday communities, it might require changes in our lives. It might require some reordering of priorities, some sacrifice, redirection, maybe laying down some things, picking up some things. I don't know, but carry God's presence we must. Because if we do not carry God's presence out from here into our everyday lives, how are lives going to be changed? And how can we claim that we are a missional church? It's all about the presence of God. Finally, this is a fairly recent word. I did mention this on the first week back from New Wine. But several people over the week, while we're at New Wine, talked about story. We're all part of God's big story. Richard Johnson talked about us being part of the story of the nation of Israel. We're just in a different chapter. Glenn Packiam talked about blessing being like God retelling our story, making it good again. And as I think about these words, you know, I feel that God is creating a story for New Life Church, a New Life Church story. What is our story? What is the narrative? The narrative is those events and things that happen that kind of come together and connect and collide to... What is our story? And what is your story? What is your personal story? And how does your personal story connect in with the bigger story? Let me give you an example of this. Now, we believe in our heart at this time that God has laid on our hearts to get involved in Hope into Action. Yeah? This is setting up a home specifically for, at the moment, our heart is led towards care leavers. Those young adults who've been vulnerable, they've tried to start life out as an adult, but they've failed. And as I think about these care leavers, and I shared this on Tuesday when a few of us got together to pray specifically about this project. As I think about this, and I think about these young adults who are vulnerable, and I think about their stories. If you were to ask them right now, well, you know, what have you got a good story? They probably would say, well, no, my story's not good. It's a sad story. It's a hard story. It's a hurtful story. But I wouldn't call it a good story. That probably would be the, you know, their testimony of many of them. And my faith for this project and for this, you know, for our contribution as a church into this work is that as our story as a church, as our stories as individuals, as our stories intersect and connect with their stories, by the time they come to leave that home, their testimony will be a good story. They will have turned a bad story, a disappointing story, a painful story, into a good story, a hopeful story, a happy story. It's all about the narrative. How does my life connect with their life? How does our lives together connect with their lives and connect with the purposes of God? Now, I don't think I have a lot more to say about story at the moment. This is just something that has been bubbling up recently, but I feel in my spirit that there is something about story, and we need to be praying that God will reveal more to us about his story for us. Finally, I know there are lots of other words, and you may have brought words. Oh, you know what? Yeah, he's left my word out. I don't mean to. I just have to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, but there are other key words that have come to us over the years. When we, again, very early on in the days of New Life Church, we felt God say to us that as a church, we would be an oasis. You know, a place for the weary, the hurting, the lost and the brokenhearted. And we've had many people come through our doors over the years, and some people have come and they've been refreshed and recharged and they've moved on. And there's been other people who've come and they've stayed with us and been refreshed, and they're even now. And we need to be comfortable with both of those scenarios. We're not here trying to build some sort of empire church. Oh, our church has got to be 1,000. You know, we try and get as many in as possible. Of course, we want the church to grow. But God will build his church. It's his responsibility. We just have to know what God wants our part to be and play that part and be faithful to it. And we need to be faithful and caring for one another, for everybody who comes through these doors, that they feel that they belong and they believe and they hear the word of God for their lives and they become all that God wants them to become. And then they move on, job done. Dave Mitchell, earlier this year, you may remember, I think it was in February, it may have been January, I can't remember. He earlier referred to us as being a church of grandparents. Now, we might have sat there and feel offended, or maybe we just laughed. I don't think he was trying to be funny. I think he felt something in his spirit. And I remember when he said it, I felt something in my spirit too. Grandparents have a very special role in a family. You know, it's different to a parent. And I think, you know, we need to just go back to that word and just really ask God, in what way do you want us to grandparent people? You know, and I just think there's something there, and we'll see how God leads us there. And there may be other words, as I say, that you've been encouraged by over the years. But these words, I think, are key. Six small steps: pursuing the presence of God and understanding God's story, our story, your story. And how our stories intersect with the stories of lies of the brokenhearted out there. What is God's narrative? How does what we do change what is happening to people we come into contact with? So, on Wednesday, we'll be looking in a little bit more detail at some of this. There'll be a great opportunity to ask questions and dig a little deeper. As a leadership team, we are always open to feedback and suggestions, as long as it's coming from a good heart. I'll put that in there. Come in with an attitude, you'll find out, because I'll pick it up. But come in with me, you know, having sought God and having, you know, you're really feeling something in your spirit, I will listen and lap it up. I will. We all will, because we want to know what God's saying to us. But for today, between now and Wednesday, you know, how do I want you to go away? Well, go away. You know, you are here, you're part of New Life Church. You're here by God's design. I believe every one of you are here because God has led you here. Even Anosh, you know, all the way from Pakistan through dreadful crisis, is here by God's design. We all are. And so go and seek God. Ask God, say, God, what is the narrative at this time? God, what are you saying? What events are happening in my life that are important events that are going to set the direction, my direction, maybe the direction of others as we move forward? Seek God's story, and maybe that will just be really helpful as we continue to talk about we'll go into details on Wednesday about the finance, about how we're investing our finances, whether we feel some of these investments are good investments. How do you measure a good investment in the kingdom of God? Well, that's an interesting one, isn't it? But we have been thinking about that. And we'll talk about ideas and thoughts we have about small groups and about how we just need to teach ourselves or give ourselves the right tools to start becoming more missional, to share our faith, etc. So all these kind of things we'll talk about on Wednesday, okay? I think I'll stop there. I'm very happy to take one or two questions quickly, but Wednesday is really the time to really bring your questions. Nikki, I'll hand back to you.